Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And our Monday show, as all our Monday shows, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. They give back like the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament that took place last Wednesday at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club, which raised better than $20,000 for the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Now, the right-hander set to go. Pitch. Swung on, grounded to short. The throw home is wide. The run scores! It was a ground ball to the glove side of Russell. He threw it, but he yanked the throw wide of home plate to the first base side. Contreras made the catch, but Hicks scored easily. The Yanks have a 5-4 lead.
John Sterling with the call on the Yankees radio network, and that was the 18th inning. Thus, if you notice in the background, there weren't many people cheering. There weren't many people cheering at all. Because there was nobody left in the ballpark. The last night's game featured 48 strikeouts, a record. Now, that's 48 strikeouts over 18 innings, yes. So let's just cut in half down to 9 innings, which would be 24 strikeouts. 24 strikeouts would be too many in a game. That would mean in a 54-out game, 24 of them were strikeouts in a 54-out game. That's too many. That's too many. We'll get into this with Frank Coonley here at some point. Once we hook in with him, and also with Matt Leon as well.
Yeah, there are a lot of crazy stats from last night's game. The Cubs had three of their pinch hitters were pitchers. They'd bring in Jake Arrieta, John Lackey, and Kyle Hendricks to pitch in. That was the first time since 1913 that a team had to use three-plus pitchers as pinch hitters in the same game. Record is 4.
Amazing. It was a crazy game in a lot of ways, but the bothersome part to me is the 48 strikeouts. Strikeouts are fine. They're an exciting part of the game. But it's also 48 times the ball's not put in play. That's the issue. See, the amount of times the ball is not put in play. And look at in hockey. Hockey may be a low-scoring game. Nashville beat St. Louis 3-1. But the puck's always in play. I mean, the puck is always in play. Soccer may be low-scoring, but the ball's always in play. The NBA, college basketball, ball's always in play. And I realize that you're running plays every 30 seconds in football, whether it's college or pro. But between replays and so forth and formations and things like that, you feel like there's constant action. It's in play. In baseball, the ball's not in play often enough. And that's the big problem that they have with the game right now. And that's hard to fix. That's hard to fix. And pitching is dominating right now. And the more specialty pitchers that we have out there, my job's to pitch the sixth, my job's to pitch the seventh, mine's to pitch the eighth, and they all can throw 95 to 97. You have shifting. Now, I've talked about shifting before. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to have a discussion. To have a discussion about keeping two on the left side of the infield and two on the right side of the infield. To manager's credit, they've been able to take analytics on where someone hits a ball, and they're able to craft their defense to go with the pattern that they have to that season to that point. Which, obviously, how many people do you see hit into the shift? I mean, a lot of people hit into the shift. So you're saying, okay, you shouldn't be able to dictate that. But every sport does that. For example, isn't the offense in soccer and in hockey hindered by the fact that you can't just have somebody hang in front of the goal? If you do, the play's offside, right? You can't bring the ball into the backcourt in the NBA. Turnover. You need 8 seconds in the NBA and 10 in college to bring the ball over half court. You have 30 seconds to shoot in college, 24 seconds to take a shot in the pros. In college and in pro football, 5 players are automatically not eligible to be receivers. Can't have 2 people in motion in the NFL and college. You can do it in the CFL. So there are all sorts of rules that are put in. And the vast majority of rules put in are supposed to usually benefit the offense. The 2-line pass rule in the NHL hindered offense for years. They took it out. Now the NHL, you have that long, exciting stretch pass that leads to more offense. In the NBA, they have a 24-second shot clock, and they put in freedom of movement rules. More offense. College basketball took the shot clock from 45 to 35 to 30. Now you've got the freedom of movement rules involved in college basketball. Scoring went up. Everything in college football and the NFL is geared towards scoring going up. The only rule that has been put into Major League Baseball that has... The only two rules that baseball has put in the last 50 years to increase scoring were lowering the mound to start the 69th season and the designated hitter. That's it. Baseball has done little else to increase scoring. There's the other part, though. Older fans do not want people to touch the game. They don't want people to touch it. Say the game is perfect the way it is. But the game has also dramatically changed. One of the more famous games in the history of baseball would be Game 7 of the 1960 World Series, where Bill Mazeroski hit the game-winning home run, correct? You'd agree with that? It's a signature game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was the final score of that game? 10-9.
Wow.
Okay, 10-9. So... now, let me ask you this. How long did it take to play that game? The 10-9 game, how long do you think that game took?
3.5 hours.
I'm glad you said that. 2 hours and 20 minutes.
See, I kind of stopped and thinking, boy, I bet it went quicker. I should have thought of that. Yeah, it probably went quicker.
Today... how long would a 10-9 game take?
I'll be pushing four, probably.
Right, exactly. You know what else Game 7 of the 1960 World Series featured? No strikeouts. Think about that.
That's that's mind-boggling. Wow.
It wasn't a single strikeout in the game. Bizarre. You want to talk about the ball being put in play? The ball was put in play. It had 24 hits. It's crazy. But a lot of people don't realize that. You know, that was Game 7, 1960 World Series. And in a game that was 10-9, the game was played in 2 hours and 20 minutes. My apologies. It was actually 2 hours and 36 minutes. 2:36 was the time of the game. 2 hours and 36 minutes. 2:36. Bob Turley, Bill Stafford, Bobby Shantz, Jim Coates, Ralph Terry walked 3 batters and did not strike out a batter. Vern Law, Roy Face, Bob Friend, Harvey Haddix walked 2. Did not strike out a batter. 5 walks and no strikeouts in the game. It took 2 hours and 36 minutes to play. Rocky Nelson, Hal Smith, Bill Mazeroski all homered, as did Moose Scourin and Yogi Berra. Mickey Mantle went 3-for-5 in the game. He drove into 2 hours and 36 minutes for a 10-9 game. That doesn't happen today. If it's a 10-9 game, you're right. It's a 4-hour game. It's a 4-hour game. So obviously something's happened in this era of specialization. And it wasn't as if, they make changes in the middle. I mean, Turley started one an inning, Stafford went an inning to start. Shantz then went 5 innings in middle relief. Then in the 9th inning, they brought in Jim Coates, who blew the save, and then Ralph Terrier lost it. Law went 5, Face went 3, Friend couldn't get anybody out, so they brought in Haddix. And Harvey Haddix ended up being the winner. But 2 hours and 36 minutes. For a 10-9 game with no strikeouts in the game. That's how much it's changed. It's just changed that dramatically in 57 years. Now, I was 2 at the time. I remember it like it was yesterday. Just kidding. All right, we'll come back. Frank Coonley, final half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car. Picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself. And negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word. Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Do you have happen to see the picture of Queen Elizabeth yesterday?
No, I did not see that.
91 years old, driving herself to church in a Jaguar.
Really?
How about that?
Huh.
Now, she loves to drive. I guess she loves driving. And when they're out in the countryside, she drives all over the place.
Well, Arsenal and Manchester United were on the pitch yesterday in Premier League. Maybe all the chauffeurs were busy watching that.
I don't think she likes to be chauffeured. I think she likes to drive. Okay. Always dreaming. And looking at Lee, finished 1-2. Okay. 1-2. And Battle of Midway, which was very good the other day. 1-2-3, right? So a dollar bet. So you put down a dollar. You make $75,974. Well, guess what? Holden Kerwicki pocketed $75,000 plus because he got the superfecta with a dollar. He picked up almost $76,000 for his $1 bet. And I think he did. I think the machine gave him. I think it was the machine that gave him the numbers. I don't think he consciously picked it.
So it's kind of like going to the PA lottery and you get a quick pick ticket, kind of like that.
No, I guess he did pick it. He picked it himself.
Hey, the one thing I heard from a lot of the reporters across the board as to how clean the horse looked after the race is because of the sloppy conditions.
Well, that tells you everything about what Johnny Velasquez did. It wasn't just how the horse looked. Look at Johnny V's goggles. Completely clean. He was behind at one point, but when he was behind, he was running second inside. But the other horse was to the outside of him. That horse ran in clean air the entire mile and a quarter. So, wow. But yes, the superfecta, one guy hit it, Holden Kerwicki, which was Always Dreaming, Looking at Lee, Battle of Midway, and was it Empire that finished fourth? Whatever the 14 horse was. I think it was Empire. But he got it. Good for him. I believe the owner of the Florida Panthers NHL team owns the horse. Always Dreaming. A great race. You watch the way Always Dreaming ran. That horse had a lot in the tank at the end. You notice that? That was not a horse that was gasping for it at the end. That horse had some petrol in the tank. Wow. That's always a fun day.
I like the fun portion of the interview that Bob Costas did at Bellevue when he was speaking with Anthony Bonomo, one of the co-owners of the horse, and said he was missing his granddaughter's first communion.
Yeah.
And Costas says, "You're not going to be excommunicated from the church. You're good." You got a pass.
How true. Yeah. If you're showing up on Sundays, you're a season ticket holder. See you now. It's like Easter and Christmas. If I've shown up a little bit later, I don't mean that they pass the beginning, but you know, if you don't show up earlier, you don't get a seat. I always kid around and say, "Hey, excuse me, I'm a season ticket holder." What's this deal? I'm here every week. Oh, boy. Frank Coonley, next half hour, president of the Pirates. We'll move Matt Leon to tomorrow. It's going to be really interesting what happens with media in the next 5 to 10 years. Because now you see Google and Amazon and how they're getting into it as examples. And is that the revenue source that sports turns to as outlets to broadcast their events? Because all of them right now, from coaches' salaries in college football and basketball to the arms race in terms of arenas and stadiums and football and basketball to the NFL, NBA, the salaries they have, baseball salaries, the NHL. You need to keep the money up high.
Sunbury Motors Kia is doing it again. Putting the beach within your reach with the Summers on Us sales event.
I want to see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
It's back again this May. Buy a new in-stock 2017 Optima Forte or Soul and pay nothing for the summer.
That's right, nada, zilch, nothing.
In fact, your first payment won't be due until October. And 2017 Sorentos start at just $24,973.
With Kia taking care of your first two payments and 90 days deferred payments, you get up to 5 months before your first payment is due.
But that's not all.
You'll also get 0% financing for up to 66 months. And with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, we're talking a worry-free ride to your vacation destination and no payment.
It's the Summers on Us sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
SMC, selling more cars
and sticking more cash into your vacation fund.
Tax, tax, extra. 0% APR financing to all qualified customers. KMF, restrictions apply. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. If you want to have a great relationship with your insurance agency and your insurance agent, Purdy Insurance, the customer comes first in every way. They'll find you the right insurance at the best price. And if there's a claim, they act as if it happened to them. They're your partner. And also, they give back to the community. Another great success, the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Last Wednesday at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club, raised in excess of $20,000 for the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. We thank Purdy Insurance, Adam Purdy, Steve Engel, the entire group over there for being involved in leading in a most worthy cause. 26th annual event. It's also great to see Tom Mertz and the entire group from Sunbury Motors out there on Wednesday. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for the sports bozo of the day. And this will go with Nate Diaz, who is 19-11, and the interim lightweight title fight with Tony Ferguson coming up. He'd rather have this be a non-title fight because he doesn't like fake interim titles. That's fine. I understand that. But you don't want to be the defending champion in any of these. All the defending champions in the UFC things lose. I mean, whoever retains their title in that thing, have you noticed that? You're a big UFC guy, right?
Well, I'll admit I may watch it whenever local favorite Tim Bosch steps into the octagon. I mean, I won't pay for a pay-per-view, but I'll look for, you know, if he's on free TV. I kind of pick and choose.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's Frank Coonley. This is the 10th year, the 10th anniversary of his rise to be the president of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Old friend, good friend, really like Frank a lot. And It's great to have him on board with us. Frank, welcome.
Great to be on you on this afternoon. I didn't realize we were celebrating 10-year anniversaries, but that's good.
I think it's really good knowing that you're in that spot. Well, I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great. Thank you very much.
Hey, what does it mean, Frank, to get a college, not only Penn State down there, but a college game between Penn State and, it turns out, West Virginia in the ballpark?
Well, it's really terrific for a number of reasons. One, to give all of the folks here in Pittsburgh a chance to see top quality Division I college baseball. Obviously, Pitt's in town here, and there's a lot of support for the Pitt Panther baseball team. But to be able to give them the opportunity to see it here at PNC Park is terrific for everybody in the Pittsburgh area. But what makes it so exciting for me personally is that it's Penn State and West Virginia. Obviously, we have a lot of Penn Staters here. I hire other people who graduated from some other schools other than Penn State, but I've been accused of being biased towards terrific Penn Staters. But we also at the Pirates have a very close and strong connection with West Virginia University. The Nutting family in particular has been so connected to that university, both with Bill Nutting on the board of trustees and Ogden Nutting and Bob Nutting supporting the school and its various causes. So there'll be a little bit of in-Pirates rivalry going on here as the Nittany Lions take on those Mountaineers. But maybe the best of all is for the families of some of these kids to be able to come and watch their sons play on a major league field. And for some of these kids, it may be the only opportunity they have to play on a major league ballpark. And you know, we're biased here as well, but we think PNC Park is the best in Major League Baseball, so they get that opportunity as well.
Well, I agree with that. I think it is the best in Major League Baseball. And I can tell after talking with Rob Cooper earlier today, the kids are thrilled about the opportunity to go there. How important is it to keep the ballpark open and rolling at certain times? They're on a West Coast trip, you know, beginning one right now. How important is that part of it from a business standpoint?
Well, it's a great opportunity, whether it's a concert or it's a college baseball game or it could be some things that are a little bit more out there. It's a great facility, and we're on the road for 81 of the 162 games. Now, there's a lot of other things that are going on, but we just had some high school baseball games last weekend when the team was on the road.
Right.
So those are great opportunities. It's one, there are some opportunities to generate revenue. College baseball games aren't that's not the driving factor in that. Some of the big concerts that come in here, they drive revenue and help us to be competitive with the other teams in the National League Central and in Major League Baseball. But it's also some piece of it is this is a community asset, and the more that we can allow, subject to very strict guidelines from our head groundskeeper, you know, he keeps me in line, but if we can allow members of the community to enjoy the park, we look for those opportunities.
I want to ask you about the state of the game right now. The Yankees and Cubs played a game last night, and I know it was 18 innings, Frank, but there's 48 strikeouts. So even in a 9-inning game, 24 strikeouts is a big number. And there are only three teams right now that are hitting over 260 as a club in baseball. Now, I know it's early. Are you concerned about the offensive trends at all? Is the pitching just that good?
Great question, and something that I'm thinking about quite a bit these days. And I am the chairman of the competition committee. Took on that assignment about 6 months ago, and a member of, believe it or not, the competition committee is an expanded group this year. We just expanded it to include a few major league managers and a few more general managers. So we've got some club presidents, some team owners, general managers, managers, and some former recently retired players as well, as we want to get the input from all of these groups. And we're looking at a variety of issues, but one of the issues we're looking at is the offensive production in the game. And believe it or not, we have a subcommittee dealing specifically with offensive production, and I'm happen to be on that subcommittee as well. And we just had a conference call last week where we're talking about these issues. So Major League Baseball has done a terrific job over the course of the last year, really thinking about these issues and looking in depth in terms of the statistics. And the game clearly has evolved over the last 10 years to be a game where there are far more strikeouts than there ever were before, far more walks, and therefore if you add up the strikeouts and walks, over 30% of the plate appearances end up in either a strikeout or walk, and arguably, no ball being put into play.
Right.
And that is a concern for us. There's no question. And what are the causes for it? A couple of many causes, and as we try to identify the causes, then try to identify ways in which we can infuse some more offense. Obviously, you quickly butt up against traditional, the way the game's been played. It's been played this way for 140 years, and that's one of the beauties of our games, is that we haven't tweaked it here and there. We're not constantly changing the rules to try to do this or do that. But there's no question that a couple things are at play. One, players, particularly pitchers, are getting bigger and stronger, and they're being trained to only pitch 5 or 6 innings. And in those 5 or 6 innings, they can throw maximum effort. They're being trained to throw maximum effort because they're not expected to go 9 innings. And then every team seemingly has a bullpen full of guys who can throw 95 to 99 miles an hour. And we know analytically that starting pitchers start to struggle more with the lineup the third time through the lineup, so fewer and fewer managers and or general managers are providing that opportunity. So we're going to the bullpen earlier. The bullpens are full of guys who throw extremely hard, and it's extremely hard to hit them. You're seeing them for the first time. They're only in for an inning. They're throwing max effort. So we're looking at a variety of ways to address the issue, but part of it, quite frankly, is the way that we are developing players, which players are getting college scholarship, which players are being drafted high in the draft. And more often than not, that's the player who's got big power, either on the pitching mound or big power in the batter's box. And the big power in the batter's box often comes with high strikeouts. And so you're seeing strikeouts go up as not only are the pitchers better, but the hitters are going for the long ball seemingly more often than they did. Interesting one, if I could just one more fact here,
please.
Is that when Major League Baseball started to introduce some of the statistics, they started with a piece that was done by Major League Baseball Network on a kind of a graphic depiction of the trends that we were seeing, and they started with Game 7 of the 1960 World Series between the Pirates and the Yankees for a couple of reasons. One, an oddity that the 550,000 people that fit into the 38,000-seat Forbes Field all remind me of. But an oddity that not a lot of people know is that there was a 10-9 game, there was not a single strikeout in the game.
Right.
Not one strikeout, which is remarkable. Today, batters are striking out 22% of the time. Another remarkable fact of that game is, even though it was a 10-9, back-and-forth game, high offense, the game was played in 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Right.
Today's average game is 3 hours and 5 minutes, and if we played a 10-9 game today, it would be 4 hours and 5 minutes.
Right.
So a lot has changed over the course of that time.
In fact, that was the next question. It was about pace of play, because Rob Manfred has put that out there as pace of play. Has some progress, in your opinion, been made? Because, as you mentioned, you don't want to radically change the game. You want to tweak it. So what are you seeing in pace of play? What do your fans tell you about pace of play?
It's interesting. I ask that question often, and I think there's no question that what we are getting at and we need to get at is the pace of play, not the time of game. I use the time of game, but if we have a 3-hour game because it is 10-9 and it's back and forth and there's
right.
a lot of offense, nobody's complaining about that. But if we have a 3-hour and 5-minute 2-1 game that's taking so long because players are stepping out of the batter's box, it's taking 25 seconds for the pitcher to throw every pitch, they're throwing over 10 times, that's an issue because people's attention spans are not that great and they start to lose attention. So how are we doing? We've made progress. We've got some clocks in the game tracking the pitching coach going out to the mound and coming back. They have to be out and back in 30 seconds. The Major League Baseball was looking to introduce a pitch clock as well, which I would have said was crazy 5 years ago. I'm in favor of it now. The union wasn't on board initially. We'll see how that goes next year, see if we can institute that next year. But we do need to take out out some of the dead time in the game, and we made some progress, and then we fell back a bit this past year. We've instituted some of these rules changes in the minor leagues where we can, and we've seen that they do have an impact in taking out some of this dead time, and I think it's important. And do I talk to fans? I do. Some of them, if they're traditionalists, they tell me, don't mess around with the game. I don't want to see a clock. Baseball is a game I love because there is no clock. Don't change anything. And indeed, even though Major League Baseball had about four or five changes to the rules, including the pitch clock, which would have taken out some of this dead time, the union, it had to be negotiated with the union. The union rejected four out of the five. The only one they didn't reject was the four-pitch intentional walk where you don't have to throw the pitches. That doesn't save much time alone. As no. one of five changes, it would have been helpful. But even that was met by people that I talked to, the traditionalists that I talked to. They were aghast that we would change the game because they remember the one time
right.
back in 1986 in which the pitcher threw the ball over the catcher's head and somebody scored from third base.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly right.
So our traditionalists are slow to change. We don't want to radically alter the game. I still believe it's the most beautiful game played, and it's got a rhythm to it, but we certainly can continue to work to take out some of the dead time and to see what we can do to try to I'd love to see us be able to put the ball in play more often. So
right.
strikeouts, walks, and even home runs, which are great and they're fun to see. You're not putting the ball in play where there's running going on, there's stolen bases, there's first to third, there's plays at the plate, all of those things that I remember so well growing up that we see less and less of in our game.
And very quickly, Penn State takes on West Virginia Wednesday night at PNC Park. This is a great chance, everybody. Go down from here. Go and get into PNC. Enjoy it. The skyline, everything that goes with it, plus some good college baseball. Frank, we could have talked for a lot longer on several of these topics. I appreciate it so much. I hope to see you soon.
Thomas, my pleasure. Have a great afternoon.
That is Frank Coonley, the president of the Pittsburgh Pirates. We'll come back, wrap up the show in a moment, brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show today. Thanks to Frank Coonley, the president of the Pittsburgh Pirates, for joining us on the show today. Penn State grad. Known Frank for a while. Great to get him on the show. Matt Leon tomorrow. We'll talk with him. Looking forward to that. Yeah, that is the issue in baseball right now, I think, is, you know, Frank's right about it's, I think, and I've used the simplistic term pace of play, but only as a simplistic term because I've talked about then all the other things that go with it. I mean, I've talked about ball being in play and things like that. And it's when I talk about pace of play, I'm talking about, you know, making the game move. But, you know, the game moves when the ball's in play. I mean, you can have a 3-hour game, and if the ball's in play over and over and over, the game is mentally moving. And that's not happening enough. I mean, the Cubs and Yankees played, I don't know, what did they play, 6 hours last night? And in that game, there are 48 strikeouts. Well, the ball's not in play when there's 47 strikeouts. 48 strikeouts. And you can... Now, let's knock that down a little bit to a 9-inning game, which would be half that. That's 24 strikeouts. So 24 out of your 54 outs in a 9-inning game end up being a strikeout. I mean, we don't, you know, that's not, I admire the fact that the pitching is important, but when 44% of the outs, 44% of the outs are not put in play, was a possibility of something happening. Wow. I don't know how you correct that. And the reason I don't know how to correct that, unless you dramatically change the game. In other words, when I mean dramatically change the game, I mean, do you require only three pitchers pitching a game? I don't think we want to go that route, do we? No. I don't think we want to go that route. Do we change defense? That's something I would like to look into. Where you would be required to keep two guys on the left side of the infield and two on the right side. I'd like to take a look at that possibility. Now, I realize that defensively now you can... for example, there are certain things defensively that are a little bit different now. In hockey, for example, I mean, you can't do, you know, the old trap is, in, you know, that's why they've opened things up. The NBA has now changed. It used to be just man-to-man. Now you can play man-to-man in some zone. Football, you can play all sorts of defenses, but, you know, it's football's found the formula to score regardless. But there's got to be a way to put more offense into the game and a little bit more perception of pace to it. How do you do that without tinkering too much with the structure of it? Because what's happened is this. The game has been tinkered with. Specialty pitchers, trips to the mound, things like that. The game has been tinkered with, which now means you have to tinker back. I think there should never be more than one trip to the mound in an inning.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.